Lowe's knows how to turn big plans into real results. Whether it's new appliances or a home refresh, get started with 12-month special financing on purchases of $299 or more with the My Lowe's Rewards Credit Card, January 15th through the 30th. So you can invest in your upgrade now and pay over time. Lowe's, we help you save. Offer subject to credit approval and cannot be combined. Minimum monthly payment required. See store or Lowe's.com for details.
Go Loud presents Opinions Matter with Adrian Kennedy.
First on the program this afternoon, when you hear the words drug addict, what comes to mind? That's what I want to find out. Do you feel a sense of sympathy for those addicted to drugs, or would you be inclined to feel that it is self-inflicted and therefore should not be treated with the same compassion as illnesses like cancer, kidney disease, heart disease, and so on? Here's the message that we got last night, and I want to read it to you. Hi, Adrian. I'm contacting you because I have something that I would like to bring up on your show, Opinions Matter. Am I the only one who is sick of hearing people saying that drug addiction is a tragic illness? Addiction should not be put in the same category as illnesses like cancer, kidney disease, heart disease, and so on, where people are sick through no fault of their own. We all know what the dangers are when you take drugs, and what happens. There are enough warnings out there. Addiction as an illness does not deserve the same compassion as the likes of the illnesses I've already mentioned. I really don't understand how people can put them in the same category. Am I on my own in how I feel here? Am I the only one who struggles to feel sympathy for addicts? How can anyone think this should be treated the same as the likes of cancer? And that is from a guy called Leon. And I noticed one of the very first messages that has come into us is everyone deserves compassion. And that's as maybe everybody perhaps does deserve some form of compassion. But do they deserve the same sort of compassion as somebody who is ill through no fault of their own? Although you could argue that a lot of illnesses are self-inflicted because of the lifestyle you lead, the cigarettes you smoke, the drink you consume, but others are arguing that that being addicted to something is an illness. Katie, let me bring you in on this. Firstly, drug addicts deserve sympathy. I'm saying this, deserve sympathy because they've gotten into an addiction, but as you could see from Leon, he says absolutely not.
I can understand Leon's email, although he's probably a little bit more harsh about it than I would be. I don't believe they should be put into the same category as the likes of those with cancer and heart disease and kidney disease. See, my thing is as well, drug addicts, there are enough warnings out there. We've all seen the ads. We've all seen read the stories of what happens with drugs. But people actively choose to go and take drugs. And I don't think you can compare it to addiction to cigarettes or addiction to even alcohol or to anything else, because when you buy drugs, it's also illegal. It's not as easy to get. You're going out of your way.
Okay, but there are other legal drugs that we have in Irish society, like alcohol, like cigarettes, both of which...
But I would also say that they shouldn't be put into the same... Alcoholism shouldn't be put into the same category as cancer.
Is it not a case that some people are more prone to developing alcoholism, that they struggle with addiction? And that is an illness in itself. So in other words, you can drink whenever you feel like it, have a good night and blah, 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 blah.
Could you not say the same about anyone if you drink enough? If you get yourself into a habit, that's exactly what it will become. If you start drinking a glass of wine every night, that could quickly become two glasses, three glasses of a bottle. And then it starts to become a part of your routine. Is it not the exact same situation? I would find it hard to feel the same level of compassion for an addict than for somebody.
And what about somebody who's smoking cigarettes and develops illnesses as a result of having smoked cigarettes? Would you have sympathy for them?
I have sympathy for anybody who's sick. I do feel sympathy for addicts. I wouldn't feel the same. The thing is, people with cancer are fighting to stay alive. These are people who are sick through, I know you can say smoking.
Oh, that's exactly what I was about to
but
say.
The dangers aren't as immediate. If you smoke, you are not guaranteed to get cancer. If you take heroin, you know the road you're going down. Because apparently with heroin, you're always chasing that first high from the first shot you take. So it is different. But I think people with cancer, people with heart disease, people on dialysis, these people are fighting to stay alive.
But you believe addiction is self-inflicted?
I do believe it's self-inflicted. I believe the warnings are out there. You know, I remember watching a thing as a kid about somebody, it was a teenager who took an E-tablet and she died at a party. And I said to myself, I will never. That was enough to put me off, even the risk of it.
Mm.
So we all know the risks. We're all told that drugs are dangerous. Don't do drugs. We all know what they do.
But my point is, we're all human and we can all slip into that trap of addiction.
Absolutely.
Whether it be cigarettes or alcohol or drugs like heroin.
I understand that. And I understand that there's depression and, you know, a lot of the time people are, there's a lot of other issues going on in the background. And I do have an element of sympathy, but I wouldn't have the same sympathy for a child who's sick.
Okay, so
cancer.
Do you fundamentally don't see addiction as an illness?
I do see it as an illness because it's a dependency. It is a form of illness. Do I see it as the same type of illness as cancer or kidney disease or any of those? No, I don't.
All right, well, that's exactly what Leon wrote to us, and I'll read briefly his message again. I'm just contacting you because there's something that I want you to bring up on your show. Addiction should not be put into the same category as illnesses like cancer, kidney disease, heart disease, and so on, where people are sick through no fault of their own. We all know what the dangers are when you take drugs, and... Sorry, he goes on to say, there are enough warnings out there. Addiction is an illness, as an illness, does not deserve the same compassion as the likes of the illnesses I've already mentioned. I really don't understand how people can put them in the same category. Am I on my own here? Am I the only one who struggles to feel sympathy for addicts? That's from a guy called Leon. And as you heard from Katie, she doesn't view addiction as an illness, really.
I do feel sympathy. I know. Driving.
But your fundamental belief is when you see a drug addict strung out to bits in the city centre, say,
yeah,
you think, oh my God, they did that to themselves?
Yeah, I would think like that. Now, maybe I'm not as compassionate as somebody who might be beside me looking at them and think, what's gotten them to that stage? And I do realise there's things that happen in their past, whether it's abuse or depression or anything,
mm-hmm.
that get them to that stage. And it's very, 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 very sad. And they do deserve to be treated. Just like somebody with cancer does. But would I feel as much compassion for the addict who put the needle in their arm as I would for the child in Temple Street fighting cancer? No, I can't say I would. I wouldn't.
Now, let me go to Alan. You're on Opinions Matter. How are you, Alan?
Basically, Adrian, like, I understand where people are coming from if you haven't experienced addiction or if it hasn't been something that's part of your life. I'm a recovering addict. I'm 34 years old. I was addicted to alcohol and cocaine. And I can categorically tell you the first time that I took a drink or I took cocaine at a party, I never thought that it would bring me to the places that I wanted or that it was going to take.
So tell me where it did bring you to.
To the almost one of the happiest days of my life. In addiction, there's a thing called the obsession of the mind, and it is one of the most horrible things you will ever experience on planet Earth, Adrian, of people who experience the obsession of the mind. All you think about daily, from the moment you wake up till you go to bed, is using. People have times of sobriety where they're not actually using, but your mind is constantly thinking about it. It's like, Adrian, if you've ever really been hungry and you know how badly you want to eat, your body's going to do what it wants to eat. It doesn't relent. It doesn't pick who the person is. Like, mm-hmm. I was a normal person. I've had things happen in my life. So I never thought it would take me to days when I couldn't get out of bed. And when I did get out of bed, physically, the only thing I want to do is go and drink take cocaine. I go to meetings regularly, Adrian, to stop me from using, from drinking and taking cocaine. I hear regularly at meetings every week of people who are so afraid of using again because they know that will ultimately mean death to them. And
is that the situation you're in, that if you were to start using again, it will spell death for you?
Ultimately, Adrian, that's what it is. Whether it takes me to suicide or it's an unhappiness that you can't imagine. When I try to explain how unhappy and sad and the torment of a life you're living, you don't want to be doing this. But ultimately, Adrian, that's what it will do. If I went back out and started drinking and taking cocaine, it mightn't happen in the first week, but ultimately it will go there again. If you are an addict, your body will go back to an addict's behaviour, and that will ultimately end up in death. As I was saying there, I hear people in the rooms every week, Adrian, who are afraid to go back out and what happens if they use again, because they know they will die. It's people on the brink. You don't eat, you don't sleep properly, you can't maintain the job, you can't live. It's not a fun lifestyle. this is not a conscious decision that people make. I never made this a conscious decision for myself that I wanted to become an addict. But thankfully for people out there who are educated and do have some experience with it, there is help out there. But without help, Adrian, I wouldn't like to know where I'd be now.
Okay, so we were talking about drug addiction being an illness that, you know, some people are prone to addiction, others aren't. Some people can take cocaine and drink alcohol and never have a major problem with either, but some, obviously like yourself, are more prone to developing an addiction. Do you see it as an illness? Do you see what has happened in your life as an illness, or was it all self-inflicted?
It's an illness. It's no one set out for this. It is self-inflicted on the terms that you made the decision. But we have a saying in recovery, somewhere along the way, Adrian, you cross an invisible line and there's no turning back. No one sets out to become an addict. Everyone just sets out to have fun or be part of a group or whatever reasons they get in for it. But somewhere along the way, unfortunately and unbeknownst to ourselves, we cross an invisible line of which there's no return. And when you cross that invisible line...
There are those that say, for example, cocaine. That very first time... and by the way, just for the record, I've never taken cocaine in my life, okay? And the reason I haven't is I would be one of those people that would be afraid that if I were to try something like that, that I'd be like you. I'd end up becoming strung out on it. So I've never touched it. I've always been probably too much of a chicken to touch it, if I'm to be honest. I have in the past had a couple of spliffs. They did nothing for me, so I never stuck with it. And I'm just wondering, that very first time that you decided to try a line of cocaine, what was going through your head?
Well, it ultimately normally starts with alcohol, Adrian, because it lowers your inhibitions, and it's so common these days. But it would be the same thing that I'd ask you, Adrian. That first time you smoked a joint, what happens if you had a like this? And you said, I'll carry on doing this for a while. It eases my mind. It helps take away a bit of the worries. And all of a sudden, you did want to stop. What happens when you couldn't stop and your body physically wouldn't stop and your brain would not relent on you wanting that drug? How would you feel if it took you to a place of suicide?
The only way I can relate it is with cigarettes that I still smoke. I should have given them up years ago, but I continue to do it because maybe I'm weak-willed or whatever, but I have that addiction that I haven't been able to shake. So I do have some sort of a comparison, but it's not destroying my life. Well, maybe it is in the long run, and you know, I could develop severe illnesses from it, but it's not destroying my life today, where your drug addiction was destroying your life today.
Yeah, completely was destroying my life, and I've no conscious decision of myself. Like I said, the first time that I went to a party and I seen people around me doing it, I thought I'd just be like everyone else. It would just be a bit of fun, I'd let it go. And then also, you have things that happen in your life and all of a sudden you can't deal with something that becomes a crutch. But it's one day you just go to stop and say, I can't keep doing this to myself. I'm not happy. The definition of insanity is repeatedly doing something that's making you unhappy. And that's what we continually, consciously try, we do, to try and make ourselves feel better. But it's one day, Adrian, you physically decide you want to stop, and I promise you can't. When you have that obsession of your mind and the addiction and the allergic reaction happens in you,
okay, but here's the difference. When it comes to smoking cigarettes and continuing to smoke cigarettes, which I do, yeah, the only person I blame is me. Because I know if I put my mind to it, I could give the bloody things up. I just have never put my mind to it strongly enough, if you know what I mean. Is the same not true of drug addiction? That ultimately... it's down to you, that it can't be viewed. I don't view smoking cigarettes as any sort of an illness. I'm addicted to smoking. But some people see addiction to alcohol and addiction to drugs as an illness. What's the difference? You know, nobody would ever see cigarette smokers as somebody with an illness.
See, the illness, it's an illness of the mind, Adrian. And that's what people don't understand. People think that after when addiction, it becomes a conscious decision every day. It's not. When it becomes an illness of the mind, your mind is sick. Think about what your mind is making you do. It's physically making you repeat something every day that is forcibly making you ill. It's making you mentally unwell. Your financial situation is probably in the sewer. Mm. It's a mental illness. It's an illness of the mind that's continually making you do something that goes through everything that we're put on this earth to do. We're supposed to be happy, have families, you know, all the things we're supposed to have planned. You don't do any of these things in addiction. This addiction ruins your life to the point of death.
Where am I going now? James, how are you?
How's it going?
And what did you want to say on this? Addiction is an illness.
It is an illness. People, I don't think people choose, some people choose to go on drugs, but some from a young age are around people that's taking drugs and they want to try them out, you know. And going to do what their friends are doing, and then if they get addicted to weed, some might stay at weed, and so you see other friends floating off and trying other things, tablets and heroin now. So, like...
Okay, and again, like you said, some people are happy just smoking a few spliffs, and that's fine. But as you just said, others progress onto other harder drugs. They're not satisfied. Yeah. So, is that the illness part? The people who can't stop at just a spliff and keep going up and up and up onto harder and harder drugs? Or is that not just selfishness? That you decide, oh, well, look, the smoking a spliff was grand, I'm going to try something different. Is that not just selfishness?
Well, they might have thought at the time, look, heroin mightn't be that bad or whatever, I'll try it out.
But we all know that heroin is
that bad. I know,
but
I'm talking like as young fellas going around, like, you know, 14, 15-year-olds, like, it's happening these days, you know?
So, do you see drug addiction as an illness?
Yeah.
And how come more people don't get that illness?
How come more people don't get that illness?
In other words, how come I'm not sick as a heroin addict? The reason I'm not sick as a heroin addict is because I've never taken heroin. It's as simple as that. Yeah, so I made that choice in my life.
You mightn't have been around people that had drug addictions growing up.
I would have thought if you're around people who have drug addictions growing up, that should turn you off, should it not?
It doesn't turn... A lot of people off, like in towns and cities.
And if you yourself, have you ever taken drugs? And if so, what type?
Just a bit of weed. All I smoke a bit of weed. Like that's it. That was it.
And do you still, or have you given it up?
No, I've given it up and don't smoke fags.
And what made you give it up then?
I gave it up years ago. Like it was just a waste of money and just have a family now and all, you know. So.
But okay, so you made that decision not to continue smoking it. You obviously weren't. Was it easy to give up?
No, it wasn't easy to give up. No, it was sleepless nights and sweats, and you know. But
you did it.
Once I've been down there, now you can do it. Anyone can do it, you know.
Okay, so the point being that you did it.
Yeah.
So you weren't sick with a drug addiction, even though it was a bit of a struggle to give it up. You were able to get away from the drug. Other people, though, aren't as fortunate. Is that the point you're making? That some people have that
I've seen plenty of my mates. Like you're not plenty, but a good few, and then a good few around the town. I'm originally from Dundalk, but living in Florida now. And like I Dundalk, I've seen that town ruined. Seen it been ruined in a matter of years with heroin. Like everyone seemed to be taking it, you know what I mean? And that's when I got out and I says, "Fuck that!" Like, I'm sorry, but I'm not going down that road. Yeah, I'm getting out of town, you know.
All right, stay there for one second. I appreciate the call. Thank you. Katie, you've been listening to those first few callers. The first caller quite clearly completely addicted to cocaine and to alcohol, and it was destroying his life. He didn't set out to do that.
No, I know nobody sets out to end up in that kind of lifestyle. I know nobody wakes up and says, you know what, when I'm older, I want to be a drug addict or an alcoholic. And I know the circumstances behind it are very, very sad. And a lot of people suffer trauma, which leads them to that. But I would find it hard. And I'm not saying I have no sympathy for addicts. I would just find it hard to have the same sympathy for an addict walking around Dublin City than seeing a child going into Temple Street who has no hair and is trying to fight cancer. And when I hear, when I'm even saying that to myself, even the image of that gets me upset. A child in Temple Street who's sick. I wouldn't feel so upset about an addict.
Somebody whose life has literally gone down the pan.
It's really, really sad. But, you know, the phones, this is the busiest topic I think I've done on this show. The phones are hopping here. The text services gone into overdrive. This is very, very divisive. I don't think I've seen a topic that has had such a split in forever. This is really dividing people. And the thing is, I can understand where people are coming from. It's extremely sad and I do have sympathy, but you can't class it as the same as...
All right, well, let's bring in a voice note from Shane, who is a recovering addict.
Hi, Adrian. I'm a recovering alcoholic and drug addict. Years sober now. And when I came sober and clean, I started drinking soft drinks as a replacement when I went out and all. And now I'm getting tested now for diabetes because I'm addicted to soft drinks. I can't put down a can of Coke.
And I think that's kind of proving the point that some people have addictive personalities.
Oh, yeah.
Like, and that is in itself probably an illness.
I don't have an addictive personality at all. I could, every time I have a drink, I'd have a smoke. But I would never smoke unless I was drinking. I don't have, so I'm lucky. And maybe I am a little bit ignorant because I am lucky enough to have never really have to, you know, I've spoken to addicts, obviously doing the show that we've done, been doing for 10 years. Mm. I've spoken to addicts throughout the years, but I'm very lucky that I haven't had it personally at my door. And maybe I am a little bit ignorant, but I just would find it very hard, like Leon said, to put it in the same category as somebody who is fighting for their lives to stay alive and kids are sick and fighting for their lives beside the person who went and bought heroin knowing what the end result was going to be.
Did they though?
Oh, come on.
You know, we all think we can try things and then walk away from it.
I know it's a form of escapism and it's very sad that they had to use that to escape. But we all know what happens when you take heroin.
John, you're on Opinions Matter. How are you, John?
How's it going, Adrian?
I'm good, thank you, John. What did you want to say on this? Is addiction an illness?
No, not at all. Junkies are sad, pathetic people. He'll just want pity. It's not an addiction at all. It's them that put a needle into their arm. It's them that put smoke or whatever. It's always poor me, whatever, when it comes to a junkie. Take responsibility, man up, grow up, deal with it.
Okay, you've already heard a guy whose life was destroyed being a drug addict, addicted to cocaine.
His life wasn't destroyed being a drug addict. He destroyed his life.
Well, did he?
He did. He's the one that put the needle in his arm or snorts coke. He was the one paying hundreds a week for whatever he was on. No one was paying him to do it.
So I assume then you've as little sympathy toward an alcoholic or towards somebody who is addicted to cigarettes, for example.
Same boat. They decide to do it until they hit rock bottom and they decide that they're not doing it. No one can help them. It's their own personal decision. You can't help a junkie until they hit rock bottom.
You see, an awful lot of people don't like even the use of the word junkie because it's so derogatory towards a fellow human being. What do you say to those people?
That's what they are. They're junkie. Like, if I see a junkie on the street, I step over them.
Say that again. If you see a junkie on the street, you step over them.
I step over them, yeah. It wouldn't bother me. They made that choice. They put themselves in that position.
You wouldn't look at that person and say, oh my God, God love them. Look what they're going through. Look at the life they're leading.
No. I'm not the one that gave them the needle. They made that choice themselves. They need to take responsibility. It's just this lack of responsibility in the whole, the government has to look after me, to have Ireland in the midst of a game. No one wants to take responsibility for their own lives. Oh, I can't get a forever home. Get a freaking job. I want to live close to my mammy. Get a job to come to the house next year, man. Oh, I'm a junkie. I need a bus pass. Get a job. Such as always out. Get a job. Too many handouts in Ireland. Too many bleeding hearts.
Okay, so you have very little sympathy for drug addicts. We were talking about how some people are able to take or leave different types of drugs. They might do cocaine every now and again or whatever the case may be, and then they can walk away from it. Others, because of, I don't know what it is, their genetic makeup or whatever, are more prone to addiction. Would you not accept that, you know, some people just have that addictive, and I'm going to call it an illness?
No. You can try anything once without getting addicted to it. There's no, I took something once and now I'm addicted to it. You have to keep addiction as a pattern. No one takes it once and goes, whack, I'm addicted to that now, I can't stop doing it.
Okay, well, stay there for 1 second because I want to bring in, where am I going? Jennifer is on the line. Jennifer, you're on Opinions Matter. How are you?
Hi.
Now, Jennifer, you've been listening to John. He has, well, zero sympathy, John. Would that be an exaggeration?
None whatsoever.
Zero sympathy at all.
Where everyone's entitled to their own fucking thing. Like, you know, nobody turns around one day and says, oh, do you know what? I'm going to be a fucking junkie. And you see exactly what he's saying. I'm going to be this fucking towerhead. Like,
all right, mind the language, Jennifer. I know. Mind the language. I know we're not on radio, but we try and keep it civilized. So he's saying he has zero sympathy. Now, do you have, what's your situation?
I do, because I've gone through it myself. I've had addiction myself.
Okay, and what John has been saying is that that is your fault. You brought it on yourself.
Absolutely. But it gets to a point. It gets to a point that it's out of control, that it is an act on it. It is an act. You know what I mean?
Sorry, say that again, John?
It gets to a point that it's out of your control.
Okay, sorry, John's question was, how do you get to that point? How does it get to that point?
I don't know. You know, it's a very fucking sad situation, like, but it does. It does, and it has gotten to that point for me. I know,
Sorry, John, say that. Sorry, I can't hear both of you.
You're explaining our own situation. No, it's a sad situation. You've done it for yourself. You didn't just do drugs once and you're an addict. You kept consistently doing drugs, getting out of your head, and eventually you're addicted to them. It's not a sad situation. You actively done it yourself.
Is that not true? That you did it to yourself.
Yeah, but Mary, see him saying he's stepping over people and all. You're not a human being if you're fucking carrying on like that. You step over a person, well, because they have a problem. They have a fucking problem. You know what I mean?
All right, you've got a problem with your tongue. If you wouldn't mind controlling it a little bit, the fact of the matter is that John is saying very clearly that somebody like you. What's your situation now? Are you away from your addiction?
Yeah, I am. Yeah.
Okay, so you've gotten your life back.
Yeah, 100%.
When things were bad with your addiction, how bad were you?
No, they were very bad, but they could have been a lot worse. I've seen friends die. I've seen like it could have been a lot worse.
And what was your drug of choice?
Pardon?
What was your drug of choice? What drug were you using?
I love cocaine. That would have been my number one thing, but. Then, like, all my friends were obviously turning to fucking doing gear and, you know, it was just heavier stuff every time.
And did you follow suit?
No, like, first it started with crack, yeah, I smoked crack, I did, and,
The conversation today is whether or not what happened to you was some sort of an illness that you just got hooked on.
It is. It is a fucking illness,
John, there you are. It is an illness that she had no control over.
Nonsense.
No, I'm not saying it has no control over.
Simple as. Is it always that simple, John?
A lot of the time it is. There is, I'd say maybe 1% is someone who's doing it to get out of their face because of trauma. The rest probably start off having a few lines at a party, do it again next week, then maybe one or two during midweek. And all of a sudden it's £500 a week on a key or whatever. That's all on them.
All right. Stay there for 1 second because I've a lot of messages I need to play. This is a WhatsApp voice note from Elizabeth.
Hi. People think it's okay just taking drugs and all this kind of carry on. You go to the NRH hospital in Dublin and you go in and see how many people is in there. They will never walk, never talk. in nappies and heist over being drugs overdose. They do that much severity, brain damage to their brains. Like, no one ever talks about that. No one ever talks about the consequences of things go wrong when you're taking drugs, the heartache on the family when things go wrong. You know, it's just not as easy as people think, just take drugs. There's more things than it. There's so much. I mean, this should be educated in schools about drugs overdose. What happens when you overdose on drugs and things start going wrong? You know, it's just not about getting you high in the drugs. It's about the consequence of things go wrong.
And that is one of the points that has been made. That we, in fact, I think it was Katie made that point earlier on, that we all know that if you dabble around in hard drugs, most likely will end only one way.
All you have to do is walk through certain parts of Dublin City and you see it. And it is incredibly sad, but it's a clear picture of why you do not do drugs. Don't take drugs. I mean, there's enough stories in the news. Like, how many stories in the news? Teenager dies after taking such and such at a party. I mean, that's what I'm going to be showing my kids when they grow up. These stories, because that's what put me off. Hearing these real stories.
Okay, let me go to Craig. Craig, you're on Opinions Matter. How are you?
How are you, Cable?
Good, thank you, Craig. What did you want to say on this?
It isn't endless. I'm alcohol dependent. I hit rock bottom a long, long time ago because I had colitis for 5 years, and then I had three operations to remove the bowel and have a stoma back, and then my father died of a massive heart attack, and then 4 years later, the mother, me and the mother of my kids broke up, and 20 days later, my mum died of lung cancer, and I lost control and became an addict and started doing drugs and drinking.
And do you blame what was going on in your life, which sounds very tragic from what you've described?
Yes.
Is that what pushed you towards addiction?
Well, the way it happened was I had no one to calm me down. I live in Wicklow. My sister lives in Dublin. So I had no one to stop me from doing what I was doing. I was start partying in my mum's house because I was living there. Before I knew it, I was drinking every day. I was doing ecstasy. I was doing cocaine, acid. I got to the stage then where I ran out of money, and I had to start taking on my local area outside the bank. So, yeah, you do hit rock bottom. You know, sometimes in life, things happen that make people become addicts and with no control over it.
So what I'm trying to understand is, okay, you really got into a bad place in your head, in your life, and you turned to drink and drugs as a way of, I don't know, was it a way of dealing with it or whatever? Some would say, and in fact somebody like John will probably say, that was self-inflicted, that you got into that spiral of addiction. It was self-inflicted. What do you say to that?
No, it was not self-inflicted. It was from all the trauma that my body had gone through, that my mind had gone through, and all the grief that I was experiencing.
Now, let me just bring John back in. John, it's just what happened in his life led him down that road.
Yeah, poor him. It's always someone else's fault, never the addict's fault. My father died a couple of years ago. I didn't fall into a bottle. I got on with it, got over it, got back to work.
I know, but different people deal with things in different ways.
They do, but how is getting out of it, dealing with it? You wake up feeling worse next morning.
That is ultimately the question, is it Craig. It didn't help, did it?
No, it didn't, because I was nearly homeless, and I was just about to lose the place I was living in. I actually sold my mother's house. And went on a mad one, spent 180,000 in 18 months, which I do regret. And then I did end up on the streets begging. Like, people don't understand that, like, when you're going through, like, grief and trauma, which I'm only after getting help for.
I've gone through grief and trauma.
The point John is making at you is that he himself in his life, we all have at one stage or another gone through our own traumas.
I understand that. People don't understand different people's lives, I reckon. People's lives are different, you know.
But that's the way you choose to deal with it. You have a choice in everything you do. I could choose now to go, I'm sad my dad said, I'm going to go and get a bottle of whiskey, and I'm not going to go to work tomorrow. Poor me. And then 18 months down the line, you go, poor me, it's an addiction. That's pathetic.
Well, Craig, what do you say to that? That's pathetic as a way of dealing with the tragedies that were happening in your life.
All I can say is I hope it never happens to anyone that in his family or himself.
It has happened to me.
Well, I suppose the only way I could describe it then is like, you don't know my life and you don't know what I went through. And at the same time, I've come through the other side. And I've had poetry being published in books. And I have
been on let me ask you, Craig, respond to what he's saying. This is all just self-pity that led you that direction. That's what he's saying.
No. It's not self-pity, so it's not. If I had colitis in the 90s before anything was known about bowel disease and colitis, and I had gone through a very hard time with that, and then with the breakup and loss of my parents, it just took its toll, and I had mental health issues as well, so I tried to overdose, and I suppose maybe overdosing as well is probably looking for self-pity, is it?
Well, Adrian, can you hold on there? I've got to get my violin out.
Listen to the man, though, John. Have you no heart at all? He really went through the ringer.
For 5 years, I went through depression. I tried to kill myself. I didn't say, oh, poor me. But what I did was eventually I went and got help. I spoke with people about it. I said, no, John, I'll get a bottle of wine every day and this will help me get the depressed thoughts out of my head. I didn't say, oh, poor me. My life is terrible. I went and did something about it before I fell down the hole of poor me. Everything's terrible. Oh, look what happened to me. My friends died when I was young. My dad died. Where can I get a bottle of whiskey? Where can I get coke? Where can I get heroin? It's all a cop-out. It's all like the nanny state of Ireland. Someone has to look after me. Someone else has to look after me. Someone else has to look after me. Why someone needs to give me help to get off the drugs? Someone needs to give me help to get a house. Someone needs to give me help to get off the drink. Take responsibility.
Okay, let me ask you, where are you at now in terms of your addictions?
I still have it here at night time, but I'm not the way I am or was. I can grow myself. I'm linked in with the Merchant Quay and the Simon community and my local mindfulness and wellbeing group, and I'm linked in with the gastro psychologist in St. Peter's Hospital. So my life is a lot better.
Is it a lot better because you have, as John suggested, taken a bit more control of your life?
Yes, exactly. With the help of the Merchant Quay and the Sovereignty, it gave me back my life.
Okay, but so you did need that help and support in order to try and get your life back?
Yes, in my local area, there wasn't that much kind of support years ago. Nowadays, it's amazing, so it is, and I can only recommend the Merchant Quay and Simon Community to anyone out there that's an addict, because they will help you get your life back on track.
Very good. Okay, well, I'm delighted that things are a little bit better for you. And
thanks.
John, to listen to a guy like that, whose life has been basically destroyed and ravaged with drink and addiction, to hear somebody with so little sympathy or even empathy is a little bit shocking, I have to say.
Why? Like, he's happy. He's doing okay now, thanks to the taxpayers like myself who don't follow the self-pity, who get out and get up and get on with it. People need to start taking responsibility.
We all need help at some stage of our lives, whether it's dealing with mental health issues, dealing with an illness. We all need help.
Yeah, everyone does. But unfortunately, a lot of funds get put into places for junkies and stuff like that that could go towards children's cancer, say, like the girl was saying earlier on, or to illnesses that aren't the fault of the person with the illness.
All right, stay there for one second if you can, please, John. Let's have a listen to what Emma wants to say on this.
I just wanted to come in there on your topic. Addiction is an illness. It's a mental illness. People aren't born addicts. They do not choose to do that. Okay, they choose to do the drug of choice, but they don't choose to get sucked in. You're dealing with an addictive substance, whether it be sugar, whether it be sex, whether it be gambling, whether it be street drugs. And they're all highly addictive substances. And you can be it's very hard not to get addicted to these, especially if your mind is not okay and you're wanting to get away from something that's going on. And so most people who are addicts, I'm not saying all, but most people who are addicts suffer with other mental illnesses. So I find it very not nice, really, that people are saying they're junkies, scumbags, whatever, because, okay, they choose to live the way they do, but they don't choose to become an addict. And it's the drug that takes over in the end, and they have no choice because they're too far gone. But they can choose recovery, but some of them just don't see it. So I just want to say that.
Thanks. All right, great message, Emma. Thanks very much indeed. And Michelle, you're on Opinions Matter. How are you, Michelle?
I just want to say, you know, it's not an illness. It's a choice, Adrian. It's a choice when you pick up your first cigarette, when you pick up your first drink. It's a choice to take drugs. Now, I'm not saying that it's not hard. They become addicts and then they can't help themselves. But what I feel for, more, you know, when I hear of addicts dying, I say, oh my God, their poor mother. Their poor mother has to bury that child.
Mm.
And it's just heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking, the pain they inflict on their families, on their neighbourhoods, on their communities. They don't care. They become so selfish and so absorbed in it. Now, you can say they can't help it in its addiction, but they picked up the first needle or the first joint or the first tablet or whatever they did. It was their life choice and that's what they did. So that's all I really have to say on it.
But the argument is that, yes, it may have been their choice. Similarly, and I can compare myself to this, it was my choice as a 14-year-old to have my very first cigarette. And still to this day, I'm smoking the bloody things. Maybe it was a little bit immature at the time, but that was my choice to take my very first cigarette. And it wasn't due to peer pressure. It's just something I decided to do. I don't know why. Still don't know why. Yeah. Can't answer it, but I did. So for you, you believe... Well, the conversation is whether or not... whether or not drug addiction is an illness. You don't believe it's an illness because it's self-inflicted?
No, not so. I think it becomes an illness. I think, but they had the initial choice. Making a life choice is what you do in your life. We do it every day. We make choices to speed down the road. We make choices to break red lights. We make choices to smoke. So you make them life choices and then you live with them. So it does become an illness in the fact that it takes control of them and they don't have control of it, but they made the initial choice to do it. And, you know, and as I said to you in my message, you know, my son passed away 4 years ago from kidney disease, age 21. Not his choice. Never did a thing wrong in his life. Wasn't sick his whole life till he was 19. He didn't have a choice. He didn't get to live the rest of his life. So it upsets me when I see 20-year-olds, 21-year-olds overdosing on drugs. They had a choice. They had a life to live. And they throw it away.
They didn't... I'm sure when somebody takes their very first drug, for example, they're not saying, oh, here, I fancy throwing my life away today.
I don't know. It's so widely advertised. It's on television every single day. The effects it has on people's lives. You know, it's like smoking is on television every single day. We know people die from lung cancer from smoking, but yet people still smoke. So, you know, you make that choice. And it's not that the information isn't out there. You know, maybe when you started like 70 years ago when you were 14, your first cigarette,
yeah.
It wasn't widely advertised. It was very fashionable to smoke back in the day when it was all on television, all the actors and everything was doing it. But drugs are not fashionable. You know, they're not fashionable. You know, we see all these programs on telly making, you know, about glamorizing the criminality of it and how much money is to be made and flashing around their cash and big cars and all this sort of stuff. And it does drag kids in. It drags teenagers in to start dealing with these people and start using drugs. But it's still a choice. It's still their choice. And as I said, the heartbreak for me is what they leave behind. It's their heartbroken families that they leave behind.
Stay there for 1 second, because on the other line, I think I have, is it your son, Sean?
It's Sean.
Okay, let's see what this is about. How are you, Sean?
Not too bad, myself.
Sean, what made you decide to contact us?
Just to see what you're saying about, is this an illness or not. I walk in town every day. I go to City Centre, I walk in the pub in Temple Bar, and I started to stop going through the alley at work. Because the amount of drug addicts and everything, I know, doesn't mean I don't have a heart. I do feel, but I see that every.
So when you see them, when you see drug addicts in the city, what goes through your mind? Do you think, as as your mam does, this is basically self-inflicted.
Well, listen, Adrian, I've seen them coming up and hassling me when I've come home from work and bothering people. And
okay, so they make your life a little bit difficult trying to get from A to B to get to work, basically.
Well, I want to walk home from work. And, like, I'd still get on the bus home at night because there was that, because I just kept getting harassed even when I was sitting in the bus. And I'm thinking, this can't be a mental illness. There's got to be... You just can't put yourself in this. How could you let yourself? I know people go through hard times, and both of the family have gone through hard times, but we pulled ourselves out of things and we've got back. But to see yourself in that state, you're not just dealing with yourself, you're dealing with your family. You know, it's your family.
I know, but we don't always think of the bigger picture when we make different decisions in our lives. You know what I mean? When I had my very first cigarette, I didn't think to myself, oh, the effect it might have on my family in 50 years' time when I die of lung cancer. You know what I mean?
I'm not saying that. We've all had a cigarette or something to that. What's the harm? It depends. If you let it go spoiling out of control, it's just everything in moderation has to be watched. But when it comes down to nice heroin and everything, everyone knows there's serious, serious effects on it, if not to mention the diseases that can come with it as well and everything. And all, you know.
Okay, so when you see a drug addict making your life a misery, but disrupting your journey as you go to and from work, you think to yourself, oh my God, they did this to themselves.
Look, I know what could have been going through their head. Maybe they got caught up. They could have got caught up in the wrong thing. Maybe they've come from a very tough past.
And maybe you're right. Maybe that is what happened in their lives. And you heard the guy on a couple of minutes ago describing how his life essentially fell apart over illnesses and death in his family, and he just took to the bottle and took to drugs. Now,
listen, Adrian, I've lost. I mean, my mom said, I lost a brother, and it took a very bad toll on my life. But you know what? We bounced back from it, and I pulled myself out of the gutter. And as I said a few weeks ago, in the mental health video I did, if anyone can pull themselves up, you just have to believe in yourself. And I just think these people who are suffering with drugs need to, if you want to help it, I'm hoping God it's out there for people. You know,
maybe some have given up on themselves. Would that be true?
That is true, but in my eyes you should never give up on it. There's always hope out there for us. If the old person listening to this today, it can help them. Never give up.
All right, great to talk to you, and thanks very much indeed for your call. And Katie is obviously still here with us.
Yeah.
Has it changed your view listening to some people describe how their life just spiraled out of control because of what was going on in their world?
It's great to hear people who have turned around from it and come back and come out the other side. But it really hasn't changed my view, because there's a lot of people messaging in saying it's not really a choice. It's not always a choice. I'm sorry, but if you take a needle, you fill it with heroin and you inject it into yourself, you have made the choice to do that. Whatever the reason is, you made that choice. And what I'm hearing a lot of here today is this, the saying, you know, the same water that softens the potato, it hardens the egg. It's about how you handle your circumstances. The same person that might break, like the what was his name earlier on, who ended up on drugs as a result of going through a hard time. And John was going through his own stuff and he was fine. But there is that choice that you make when you buy drugs and inject yourself with drugs. You know the you know what's going to happen. It hasn't really changed my opinion. It's fascinating speaking to people who've been through it to find out what the reasons were that they ended up in the situation. And I do have a massive amount of sympathy and compassion. But I can't feel the same amount of compassion as I would for somebody who has cancer or a sick child who's fighting for their life.
All right, let's squeeze in one final WhatsApp voice note, and this is Gary.
How are you doing, Adrian? I have to say I'm actually baffled that you're letting even John use the word junkie. It's an absolute disgusting word to be calling an addict. John is a small-minded person, but listen to him. He's no self-pity at all. You know, he's gone on about depression and he had it for 5 years. He showed no compassion at all. Anybody that has depression, has gone through depression, has shown compassion at the end of it. I don't think John has a heart, to be honest with you. I'm battling gambling for the last like 17 months, and to be honest with you, going through treatment and understanding where my addiction has came from has made me realise that I did have an illness and I did have a problem that I needed to get sorted. My life is much better now, but I have to say, John, you're a small-minded person, and I'm disgusted to listen to you.
All right, Gary, thanks very much indeed for your comment, and thanks very much indeed for all of your opinions.
Subscribe to this podcast for free on the Go Loud app.